So, and this could segue very nicely after what we just talked about. You know, I think there are certain take-home messages that we can talk about with exazimib as a focus. First of all, that proteasome inhibition is a standard of therapy for myeloma treatment, and I think that's exemplified by the survival benefits seen in pretty much every setting with the use of bortezomib and the real excitement around carfilzomib, where we're seeing it provide clinical benefit of an order of magnitude greater than the seen with bortezomib, certainly as illustrated by the ENDEAVOR study. Exazimib is the next step in this, in my view, because it's effective, it's safe, and above all, it's convenient, and it seems to be an ideal partner in a combination approach with oral treatments like lenalidomide. And there are studies now with pomalidomide that are very promising as well. It's given weekly, but obviously there is now efforts to look at twice a week, which was one of the takeaways from my patient. He's on the twice a week schedule with very resistant, biologically resistant, clinically resistant disease. And so he has done very well for a long period. And the twice a week schedule, therefore, in my view, is definitely worth thinking about. I think what's exciting about it is this concept of continuous therapy. Continuous therapy really matters. And this might explain, Neil, why you see the biggest delta in 17p deleted patients with exazimib compared to, say, bortezomib and even compared to carfilzomib, recognizing how potent carfilzomib is. The delta is almost 10 months, and that's the biggest seen in any randomized trial, to my knowledge. So that may be because you're able to dose it continuously. And we know that duration of exposure to proteasome inhibitor matters. For example, if you dose bortezomib to 64 doses, you see 17p overdriven. If you only give, basically for argument's sake, 16 doses, as the French did with the bortezomib dex induction, 17p is not overdriven. So that's where this principle may be so vital.
So just out of curiosity, if we were going to do a curve, and maybe there's a curve like this that exists, where you look at, let's say, drug levels over time, if you were to compare exazimib to IV bortezomib to sub-Q bortezomib, kind of what would those curves look like?
The convenience of exazimib exposure over time is huge because obviously patients stay on it. It's oral, it's easy. But in terms of actual curves related to dose and exposure, I can't recall those, Neil. I think in some ways we may be able to sort of look at them in a way of comparative trials. You know, for example, in the ASPIRE trial, carfilzomib was given for 18 months and then had to stop because there had no safety data beyond 18 months. And there you see the curve start to close again, suggesting that once you take away your proteasome inhibitor, things go south.
I mean, obviously that the duration of exposure for practical reasons, you know, if you can treat for a longer period of time. But I was wondering also within the treatment period, when you give, for example, IV bortezomib, obviously it peaks and comes down.
Yep.
Does it come down lower than the steady state of exazimib?
That's a great question. You know, there's a very interesting piece of pharmacology to exazimib. It's got rapid on, rapid off pharmacodynamics and kinetics. So it means that its half-life actually is reasonable, hence the weekly dosing. But the on-off effect is incredibly interesting because what it means is that you get this, and you also see effects on the subunits, which are different to bortezomib. So it's not, you know, bortezomib, people say exazimib's oral bortezomib. That's actually not true. They are both boronate peptides, but they are quite distinct. Whereas, for example, carfilzomib and aprosomib are probably closer to each other. Bortezomib and exazimib are distinct. But I would say that ixa has this advantage of this rapid on, rapid off pharmacology, which makes it less toxic in what it does. But I think you've got an excellent point there, Neil, that the half-life probably confers benefit. Interestingly, it's worth mentioning that bortezomib also has this Cmax effect, which may contribute to its toxicity, but interestingly also may be relevant therapeutically, particularly in extramedullary disease, because there have been some papers showing that when subcutaneous bortezomib may fail in an extramedullary patient, remember to try IV, because responses have been seen IV versus not seen with sub-Q, which are quite interesting.